It's time to grab your book
and your candles.
Snatch 22 Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to Snatch 22 Podcast, where we read and rail on ridiculous erotica. I'm Croy.
I'm Tatiana.
I'm Jess.
Hello, sugar boogers. Welcome back from the holidays.
Holidays are over.
Well, not for this book, though. We're just getting into the groove.
You know what? We decided it was pretty lame of us to do four Christmas books back to back and not even mention Hanukkah, so we opted to do a Hanukkah book.
We have to do the Hanukkah.
That was like your Bill Cosby.
We have to do the pudding pop.
I think you sound like a Muppet. Like a Muppet version of Bill Cosby.
I think that's most of my voice.
I think that's most of Bill Cosby. I think Bill Cosby sounds like a Muppet.
Oh, don't do that to Muppets.
Don't do that. Oh, you know what? You're right.
The Muppets are beautiful.
Do you want to hear a really great Muppet joke?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You laughed at yourself before you even told me.
It's pretty horrifying. Okay, ready?
Okay.
What did Kermit the Frog say whenever Jim Henson died?
Get stuffed.
Get piggy with it. No.
No. He said nothing.
To start us from the bottom and then build us up.
And my mother's down. Mother,
no, can't do this to me. Book. No, you started us at the bottom. Now somehow we have to dig deeper down.
It's a shitty ass book.
Christ, a ball.
Oh, man. We are reading this week, Festival of Lights, Hanukkah Erotica by D.L. King.
That rhymes.
Hanukkah Erotica. Hanukkah
Erotica. And guess what D.L. Erotica. Stands for? Dick lips? Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Dick lips king.
Yeah, Dick lips king.
I am the dick lips king.
Yeah, or dildo lips. No, dick lips. Dick lips is good.
Dick lips.
Dick lips.
Yeah.
Yes.
Down low king. So maybe DL. it's like a king who doesn't want to be known that he's the king.
He's on the DL.
Ooh, and he's on the DL
with double
being
lover.
A king or double lover king.
Maybe that's like a double sided dildo thing.
Double liver.
What?
Somebody has an extra.
Oh, live on onions.
So I feel like we can vote on most of us at least hated this book more than any other book. I can't think of another book that I hated more.
Yes, no, absolutely.
If you could name one.
A Christmas Maggie was pretty boring. You hate Comfort Bigfoot.
I do, but at least it's
at least there was a story.
And porn! We come here for the porn!
We're just not even going to tell you how much porn is or is not. In this book, you'll just find out with us.
Oh, man.
Ugh.
Awful.
Well, let's put our fucking dreidels on our nipples and just dive right into this.
We're on the tippy clits. Okay. Just spit them. Spit them, baby.
I will say, I learned some words and some things about Hanukkah that I didn't know. Basically, all I know about Hanukkah, I learned from the Rugrats Passover story.
Fair.
That's fair.
Yeah. And I gotta say, it's not much. It's just not much.
Is that because you don't have Jewish friends?
I don't know. I don't run around asking people.
That's the first question whenever you meet somebody. So, Jewish?
Yeah. Are you Jewish?
I mean, I feel like Jewish people usually tell you.
I don't know. They're not vegans. They're not. They're certainly not vegans.
That's true. Or CrossFitters.
Oh, Christ.
A vegan CrossFitter.
Oh,
Jew. A vegan
CrossFit Jewish person.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Okay, did anyone else feel like the people? Like, this is, like, obviously, I've met many a Jewish person who does not sound like they're from Long Island. I've met most Jewish people I've met.
That's true.
Like
not.
Everybody in this book is from Long Island.
In this book is absolutely from Long Island. Even, I don't care what age they are, they're all from the depths of Long Island.
But, like, old school Long Island.
Old school.
I mean, her name is Judith. I feel like she's got the huge weave and the huge long nails.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
she
right.
likes locks.
Oh, my God. We gotta get that locks and schmia.
Yeah, so that's how I felt about Judith.
And with that, we've ostracized all Jewish listeners.
I'm so sorry.
Sorry. If for all those of you, I am Jew-ish. So I feel like I'm a good link for us.
My mom pretends she's Jewish, so I think I'm also a good link.
Great.
Yeah.
I have Jewish friends.
There we go.
Did you ask or did they tell?
They let me know.
Oh, I should send this book to my grandparents, see how they think of it.
No!
They're so Jewish, man.
Are they also into S&M?
God, I hope not.
God, I hope not. I don't want to know.
My grandmother, my Lita, she used to wear heels that were like, I swear to God, like 6 inches.
Is she real tiny?
She's real tiny. That's why we call her Lita. Because abuelita is Spanish for little grandmother.
Isn't that so funny to watch Jess, the creamiest, palest person alive, I know. Say anything remotely ethnic?
To say that I am part Chilean. Sort of.
You are.
They married in. So I wonder if maybe the heels came into it. Into my grandparents' smutty life.
Ew. Well, people gotta have sex too. They are the highest traffickers of STDs.
So I learned from Parks and Rec.
They're not educated.
What?
It's because they're not educated.
I think it's just because they just don't give a fuck anymore.
No, it's a genuine thing. They're not educated. Like they never had to be. At that time.
Yeah, happy holidays.
And you're just about to get sadder because this book sucks.
So what a way to kick off the new year. Yeah. Bad smut.
No.
I think we can call this a glimpse.
Woo.
A shallow glimpse into BDSM pockets of the world.
Shallow.
Yeah. Very shallow. Like, we don't get to see, like, the establishment of the relationship. We don't make sure that both parties.
That tasted like pizza.
That sounds good.
Because I had leftovers for lunch.
Yum, yum, yum.
I brushed my teeth since then, though, but it's just... it came from the depths.
Down from beneath.
I'm so sorry. Continue.
Oh, no, you're BDSM. Fine. I just don't remember where we were.
Not development of our characters.
It was just the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, that it was skipping on the S&M. Like, the service.
We're getting spark noted, and I would like to assume that this person is involved in the community, and that all people involved in the story had, like, consensually done all these things before, and all had, like, talked about it, have safe words. Like, I'm totally sure they do.
I honestly feel, though, like, that's one thing that is established in this book, that it seems like the character Mark, the husband and wife, Mark and Judith, it appears that they have a ritual, and that they're both very comfortable.
Yeah.
So no part in this book did I feel like anyone was being sexually assaulted or raped. Like, unlike many of the books where I was like, this is sketchy, I actually didn't feel that way about this book at all.
Mark just must be into, like, the humiliation motif of being the sub.
But he mentioned it multiple times. I mean, how much he enjoys
how he enjoys it. Yeah.
So, like, I didn't feel any sense of taking advantage of it. It was very clear their dynamic.
But I don't know.
It just wasn't sexy.
Not at all. They are boring. I don't know that she necessarily is into BDSM, because wasn't the 50 Shades of Grey author, a close friend of mine is absolutely into it. Like, he would be flown to Denver. Like, somebody would pay him to go to this place, and the only rule was once you got into the bedroom, you had to, like, he told me all about it, and he was telling me how much he hated the 50 Shades books because it's not at all what their culture is.
Oh, there was big backlash from the community.
Yeah, yeah, huge. So I wonder, I doubt many people have read this book, but I'm curious about as to whether or not she has or he has.
Mm-hmm. Whoever Neil King is.
Because it's so shallow. Like, there's really no depth to any of their kinkiness.
I feel like it is. So that's how I felt. I felt that about how he or she was even talking about Hanukkah itself.
Mm-hmm.
Was such a shallow view of Hanukkah.
Yeah.
They even mentioned at one point.
8 days of presents. That's all that matters.
Well, that was that man. And then when he was talking about the candles. Like, women could use the candles.
Holy Jesus.
And Judith is like, that's the whole point of Hanukkah. You know what I mean. Hanukkah, that the candle has to last all night, like how the oil lasted for 8 days. I'm like, know what Hanukkah is!
If you have spare candles,
why
can't you just use the spare candles for something kinky?
I'm drunk. I don't know.
Like, if they're the spare one, I don't know. Maybe it's like, I don't know. Maybe it's, I don't know.
I think she's trying to put them down.
I don't know.
This is one of the first books that we've gone so deep without actually giving any kind of a detail about the story. Like, we've been skipping ahead.
Let's get this ball rolling, y'all.
It's just so hard because there's, like, no plot. It's like they're just sitting in a house, all of it. They reference being outside of the house. Like, I went to work earlier, but now I'm out of that.
Wow, spoiler alert.
You went to work.
Spoilers.
Oh, okay. I think he had a, what did he say that was so, like, just general, where it was like, oh, even though the statistics came back today,
oh, no.
So good.
I got it.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Continue.
This is, you'll all see very shortly just how unbelievably vanilla this kinky Hanukkah book is.
Oh my god, it was.
Every single aspect about it. It made me feel great. I read this book and was like, man, I'm adventurous.
I am a slut.
Well, we begin with a line that should never, ever, ever, ever open any book that you know is about sex, ever, which is, what are you, a kid?
I was so confused.
I read that line a few times.
Yeah.
Trying to be like, wait, who is? Because at first it seemed like a, because any of the books that we've read, it can have backstory. I thought maybe it's going to be the story of him growing up or she growing up. I didn't know who it was. And then, like, them with their mother. And then, like, them growing up with, like, kind of a fetish of Hanukkah or something.
Yeah.
Or something happens on Hanukkah. Like, I didn't think it had to be also centered around it. And then it was like, oh, no, wait, how old is this person? No, I guess they're married. Okay.
Oh, boy. Never mind.
Not a singular detail about how they look.
Nope.
Not a singular detail.
Nope.
Nope. Nope. We don't need it, though. We begin with Judith entering the house carrying metric fuck tons of groceries, presumably, as Mark drops a giant box and kicks it away. He was snooping at his gifts. Snooping. He rushes over to her and grabs the bags, kisses her on the cheek, and is like, I wasn't snooping. What? Oh, that's crazy talk. And immediately, Judith threatens Mark with a cattle prod as she reaches over to swat his butt. He dances away from her.
He's like a white bird running away.
Oh, okay. Now, I imagine like a little Harlem Shake out of the place. Like, what did you have going on?
I imagine some kind of like a wiggle of sorts, like a sweet innocent, like you know the sun lotion girl.
Jodie Foster?
I think that's
Jodie Foster. Is that on the suntan? Like, oops, that's her
copper tone butt.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Coppertone baby is Jodie Foster.
I think you are right, or at least it's a rumor.
Yes.
I think it's actually R. Kelly. They're very similar in comparison physically.
Woody Allen? I thought it was Woody Allen.
You are right.
I'm sorry.
It is Woody Allen.
I don't like to stand up and like, you know, cause a fuss, but yeah, Woody Allen. Thank you.
We don't want to have incorrect facts here on Snatch 22 podcast.
Fake news. We don't want fake news.
No.
Mark has buffed this off long enough. We're going to suspend our disbelief, unlike his Lady Judith, and decide that he really was just looking around the house and just happened upon this box under the couch. Because after all, it's just 1 week until Hanukkah. Who would be a little poopster pre-Hanukkah? We're going to go on a lot of side quests with this book. Like learning that when Mark was a kid, his parents would put his gifts on the mantle, essentially, so that they could see them but couldn't reach them. Yeah.
Don't care.
We're going to learn so many things that we don't care about.
I don't care
of anything.
I don't care anymore.
Do, 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 do.
Ah, Hanukkah.
I don't want to read Hanukkah, Hanukkah. Ah.
God, we're so talented.
How do we not have millions? Mark put Judith's gifts out so that Judith can see them, but she keeps hiding his shit. And Mark is very anti-gift hiding.
Because presents are the point of Hanukkah.
Yeah. He wants his stuff out so he can see it. But also, that little rat fink Judith hasn't even wrapped his shit yet. How dare she?
Bitch.
What a cunt.
What a banana-faced dildo.
I hate her.
God. Judith sneers and says, what makes you think that was for you? Maybe that was a present from my mother. You don't deserve any presents. You've been so bad lately. And Mark is all, you wouldn't have bought your mother something from Sandor's House of Pain. Smells like 8 nights of BDSM is on the way. But if you were going to get surprised with a BDSM toy out of the fucking woodwork for the holidays, what would your BDSM toy be? Like, if you had to pick right now, like, what would your little... If someone was going to surprise you with a BDSM gift...
I would be ignorant, though, because I don't know a lot about it.
I don't know either.
Like, something simple and stupid, like handcuffs or, like...
Yeah, you can start small.
Or something. Because I don't know what... I don't want to be whipped. Or
no,
like,
pain is definitely not my...
But I also don't know enough about it. So I'd be like, okay, you know what? How about a sex swing?
Ooh.
I don't know. Is that BDSM?
I don't know.
I would say so. Basically, it's like its own kind of kink. Like that, like a ball gag.
Sex swings are apparently really expensive. So, like, if I'm going to request
a couple hundred bucks
from the world.
Oh, yeah. I saw my friends. I was like, that's elaborate.
Oh, that's elaborate. Wow.
Yeah, hers is hung on the back of her door, so she can just go like, and you can shut the door and she'll be like, hello, Mr. Bond.
No, incredible. Mr. Bond, I expect you to fuck me.
And before I kill you, let me show you my sex swing. And Judas knows now that Mark did peek, even though, no, I swear I just saw the label. But she came home too soon for him to peek, and this sets her off. Judith commands Homie to go get a hairbrush and a wooden spoon from the toy cabinet.
Ooh.
At which point, I'm led to believe that she's either going to beat the shit out of him with both, or maybe he's going to make some soup and braid his hair.
And braid his hair! Your punishment, you have to brush my hair, Mark.
I thought that was going to happen. Like, I thought they had that kind of dominant relationship.
That's definitely my kind of punishment.
Yeah!
You've been bad. You need to brush my hair.
I would love to.
Mark wasn't really grumbling, though. He'd been wishing for a good spanking since last Tuesday. Very specifically, since last Tuesday.
What day of the week is it?
Today. I think that it's Sunday.
Sunday? Okay.
I think it's Sunday, because they mentioned Monday later.
Wednesday.
God.
It's impossible to know what day we're on.
Mondays! Mark kept doing sneaky, stupid stuff in the hopes of getting spanked, instead of just having an open, healthy discussion with his girlfriend, wife, Dom thing. Oh!
It's definitely his wife.
It's definitely his wife, and I don't know if you guys did, like,
Wait, but it's their first Hanukkah.
It's their first Hanukkah.
Yeah, so they've been married for a year.
But did they not celebrate Hanukkah together while they were dating?
Maybe that's forbidden. I don't know.
Or did they just...
don't think it is.
It's forbidden.
You cannot spend Hanukkah with your significant other unless you're married.
Got to put a ring on it. I don't know. Maybe they were traveling at the time. Maybe one of them lived in Australia or something. I don't know.
That'd be stupid.
Yeah. Ah, so dumb.
Well, what I was thinking, I was like, okay, so did they meet, date, get married all in this last year?
Maybe it was arranged.
What a lucky arrangement to find somebody who's willing to be your sub.
Can you imagine just being as vanilla as you?
Yes, as vanilla BDSM as you are. I don't have the answers for these. For these terrible people.
How very lucky, though. I mean, the Jewish sub-dumb culture must be very small. Just,
how do you know that?
I've been on Craigslist. None of them are Jewish. Looking for a nice Jewish boy with which to explore knife play.
Oh my god! Would we have... Wait, this was on the chart, knife play.
Knife play. I would not. No, I wouldn't do that. Just because I'm scared of getting, like, stabbed.
What's knife play?
Knife play, it can be anything from, like, sliding a knife down you to maybe, like, a little bit of pressure, like, what have you. Like, there's different levels that people are comfortable with.
Friends ruined knife play. Do you remember that episode whenever they're celebrating Thanksgiving and Chandler loses a toe?
Oh, my God, yes!
Because Monica's trying to be sexy with all these knives.
I remember
this
that.
This steel is so cold against my body. And then she drops a knife and he loses his baby toe.
And we're done with knife play. We're done. Bye. Bye-bye. You can do it all you want. Just be safe. And consensual.
Fact.
Looks me dead in the eye.
And you look at me in this face of like, I've done it.
I don't trust any of my exes with knife play.
No. What about, that's not a knife.
No,
this is a knife.
That's an ice knife. And Tatiana has melted into a puddle of estrogen. Goodbye! Then we side quest into Mark talking about actually how much he did love the presents being visible. Because it's his favorite part from Hanukkah as a kid. I'm uncomfortable with some of the things that they talk about from when they're children. Because all she talks about is getting spanked by her dad. And now this is like her number one go-to sex move with her current husband. And she still references it. Yeah. So
it's uncomfortable. You know what's interesting? And I would actually like to ask somebody about, like, in the BDSM culture. Is it's like every single book that we've read, and granted they're short, so that's part of it why I feel like they only speak to each other in that tone.
Right.
Like, we get no side where it's like,
there's no humanity.
Yeah, yeah, where they're just, like, out grocery shopping and being cute and loving together.
There's a part where they're cuddling and reading the coffee table book.
While she's playing with his dick.
Oh, okay, that's fair.
Is she playing with...
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's definitely mentioned that she's playing. That she's just playing around. They're cuddling.
It's not like it's in the BDSM. It could just be, like, a tender... Like a,
yeah, yeah, no, you're totally right. It's still surrounded by sex, though.
It is. It's true.
Yeah, it's just such. I think it's such a short read, and some of the authors just aren't that skilled. I mean, if you're only writing smut, I don't know if you can really develop like a solid 3D character. So it's just, I don't know. It's just hard to get a grasp of these people in a way that's not like we're wired for sex and sex only, or at least like, I don't know. Just a bummer.
It's just so hard. It just also makes it more flat and boring. Like, they're so boring.
Well, they are written on paper.
Okay.
Okay. I've been sitting on that ever since you said 3D people, and I was waiting for my moment, and you just made it better.
I'm so glad I could make this dream a reality.
Dastardly.
You're welcome.
More side information. Yay! Mark and his brother and sister would race home from school to see if they got more gifts. He loves the blue and silver wrapping paper, watching the boxes grow, and his father, the artistic mathematician.
What a random fact!
Who makes beautiful stars of David's for the packages. His dad sounds like a fucking catch. Like, what a renaissance man.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't care. I don't care. You ever see that Judy Garland video of her singing that song? That's how I felt for this entire book.
Yes! Who do we want to cast as this fucking silver fox with good hands? I don't want to cast anybody else except for the dad that's mentioned once.
What about,
who's an artistic mathematician? Like, who's a gentle, thoughtful man with good hands? Like, they play a sexy silver fox.
George Clooney.
Oh, George Clooney.
Richard Gere is a silver fox.
Yeah, he hamster up his ass.
Yeah, I know.
Is that true?
No, I snopes it. It's not true.
Oh, that is true. I know,
but we can
it.
Pretend. In the spirit of BDSM and
it's
buttholes,
true.
It's Richard Gere. Richard Gere is the sexy, ambiguous Star of David.
Who's mentioned once.
Yeah.
But we have welcome. More detail about him than anybody else.
Don't
we? Because he's even, we don't know what Judith or what Mark does.
No, is Judith a... That's a biblical, like, bad... Not bad, but, like, biblically, Judith was a...
Judith,
bad character.
Judith. Maybe
Judas.
Maybe it's what you're saying. Yeah, Judas with a lisp. My wife named me Judith.
Hi, Judith.
Maybe it's with a lisp, Judith.
My name is Judith.
Judith, how could you?
There's Judith. Okay, here
Judith.
We go. Ready?
Judith is scary.
The account of beheading of Ooh. The account of the beheading of Holofernes
me.
By Judith is given in the Book of Judith.
Smash 22 needs a book.
We don't, man.
Let's write our own smut.
Except it should all be Jess, because who are we kidding?
Back on.
Who are we kidding?
I'm sorry, this really isn't that important, but I always thought, I feel like I remember Judith being like a... Wait, the figure of Judith herself remained unmoved and unreal, separated from real sexual images, and thus protected.
Huh.
I don't know.
Ironic.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm maybe not that interesting, but
I'm fascinated.
I'm fascinated, everybody, because I'm a nerd.
Oh, nice boy.
Thank you.
If you thought we were done learning about side shit about Mark, you're wrong!
Oh, good.
Mark grew up in Montana. Mark's family was the only Jewish family for miles. They outlined their house with white lights, but they had blue and silver inside instead of red and green. No Christmas tree, and his mother simply would not consider a Hanukkah bush.
Why?
The fuck is a Hanukkah bush? Is that a real thing?
Yes.
Oh, good. Tell me. Educate me, please.
I don't know why, but it absolutely is a thing. Hold on. Let me just look it up. Hanukkah book.
I thought this was absolutely going to come back into play when they had sex, which...
It's actually... It's her vagina.
Yeah!
That's what I was waiting for, and I was really disappointed.
Okay, so a Hanukkah bush is a bush or tree, real or simulated, that some North American Jewish families display in their home for the duration of Hanukkah. It may, for all intents and purposes, be a Christmas tree without any Christian ornaments.
Fair.
The Hanukkah bush is a bone and contention between those Jews who see it, especially in its menorah look-alike manifestations, as a distinctly Jewish plant badge, and those Jews who regard it as an assimilationist variation of a Christmas tree, especially when indistinguishable from the latter. Interesting.
Hmm. Interesting. Hmm. Well, there are lovely decorations to be had, even though the Hanukkah bush is a point of contention for this family.
Not there.
So much drama.
They definitely put up ornaments and tinsel, though. Weirdest side facts, even though his mother, quote, bitched about it getting caught in the vacuum cleaner weeks after the holiday was over. Anyway.
Or the cat eating it and pooping it out later.
Oh, but that'd be funny.
That would be funny.
That'd be funny. Little is sparkly doo-doos.
It's not funny when it's happening to you and it's your cat.
Nah. I don't have a cat. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I digress. And so finally fucking do they. Mark opens the cabinet and finds a boar-bristled hairbrush from one of their antiquing trips.
They love antiques.
Also, Judith uses the words pervertibles in reference to her hairbrush and apparently to all the other lavish antiques that they find that she desecrates by using for sexual reasons.
So still, everything is sexual. Even their lovely antiquing outing is still wrapped in sex.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he loves about her.
He does. He
does say that.
He loves this. I don't know.
It's great that they both love it. It's fine. It's just that they're so boring and dull, and there's no point!
It's true.
Mark looks in the cabinet. Lots of treats. There's leather collars and cuffs, clamps, a box with intimate toys. Like, didn't we just establish that the items in here are from antique stores and shit like that? Like, who is selling nipple clamps with their Tiffany lamps and, like, leather chaise lounge?
It's a little bit of a mixture of stuff.
I would love to go out and go nipple clamp hunting with my significant other.
Me?
From an antique store. Oh, my baby!
Hi, Angel, your wife?
Only if they're wooden nipple clamps, because that's the antique. And the real pain comes from splinters.
And they're not spring-loaded clamps. They're just freaking... What is the word? Like nut and bolt?
Yeah.
This all sounds really bad.
It doesn't adjust?
No.
Doesn't adjust. I learned that if some people will do weight training to their nipples. I don't know if you knew that inverted nipples are a thing, but they're nipples that instead of poking out like this, they just kind of dip inside. And that...
Are you born with...
People can be born that way.
Okay.
And that some people will put clamps with weights on them and kind of like try to weight train their nipples to reverse that.
Do you like something or do you just hold your... I feel like if you're pulling your nipples down, you're just going to keep them down.
I think it's the act of like you clamp it to the inside and then it brings it out and then kind of pulls it out and down. I don't know. I'm not sure what it is, but... I don't know. Reading nipple clamps in this, I was like, oh, I forgot all about that.
Many people like have weights in their vagina, like they do like exercises,
like Kegels with like, weights.
Yeah,
there was someone at the New Year's party that I was just at.
What a great New Year's party!
Who had a penis extension?
What?
How did you find out about this?
Rumors. rumors that that person was like, yeah, I did. Fucked up my marriage. And I'm like, I don't know if it was your penis extension. It might have been you.
What's a penis extension? Is it like if you have a small penis? Is it when
they
cut it open
and then they let like the rest come? Like, hold on. I watched a YouTube video about it once. Ah! I think. Am I right?
It sounds terrible. I did not ask for more details.
Why?
I don't know. Because he was also talking about having throat cancer. Like, there's just too many things coming out of this guy.
That throat cancer.
What is, Tati, what is...
God, diggity damn.
What is the penis extension? Is it literally like an extension of your penis if you have a small penis?
Well, here's what I thought it was. I thought that I'd seen something where, like, there's a surgery that you can do where, like, they, like, make an incision.
Oh, it's not an item.
I didn't think it was. Hold on.
No, it's an internal thing.
Yeah, penis extension. We're just Googling everything. I just want to make sure I'm saying I'm like the right thing right now. Penis just sleeve. Just be so funny.
Penis sleeve, bubble.
I just feel like I saw something where it's like there's more penis inside, and then when you cut like a whole, like if you cut something, more can come out. I don't know. I don't know the whole thing.
I know that you can extend the skin. Like people were like, and this is gonna suck to hear. People were like tear the
or it's gonna blow to hear.
They will like pull the skin and like pull the muscle and stuff, and then
I think that's
then you have more skin and then more blood just flows to it, and it's, you know, I don't know. I've definitely seen the video of that one.
Penises are so
fascinating. Half of the penis is located inside of the body and is attached to the pubic bone by what is called the suspensory ligament. Uh-huh. Suspensory ligament can be released during penis enlargement surgery, resulting in increased length. Typically, this increase can measure 1 to 2 inches. Really? Only 1 to 2 inches?
That makes... but imagine for micropenis, someone that's currently living that's with, true. Like, half of an inch or something, to have 2.5 inches is, like, a...
That's a big...
What a game changer for that person.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I feel you. It just seems like a lot. It's scary.
It sounds like a really painful surgery. It just sounds scary.
But I mean, think about the immense amount of like pressure that dudes have to have like good dicks in society. Like that's all you have.
Yes, no, I mean, I absolutely agree. It's more than for women because I was like thinking
like with our boobs and stuff.
Well, yeah, because it also changes from culture to culture and from time to time, like breasts and butts and hips and stomachs. Like, plus there's like a type. Like there's like no type for women who are like, God, I hope he's got a small dick. Like,
yeah, I hope his penis is invisible.
Like, oh man, I want him to be grinding up against me and I feel like, hey, is this a woman?
Is this like Ken doll? I love Ken.
Ooh, I love pinto beans. Ooh. Is that a pinto bean? Oh, is that a pinto bean in your pocket or are you just happy to see them all?
So no, but I do absolutely feel bad. I feel like it is one of the worst things where they're super judged on and emasculated if it's not whatever. But I feel like even guys who have average dicks face that.
Totally.
Whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people see porn, and porn stars have, like, these massive huge dicks, and guys dicks are like, I guess that's average. You're like, the male, I think the average is 4.5 inches or 5 inches right now.
Depending on which country you're in.
Yeah. For good old America. Chilling with those 4.5, 5-inch roos. Which I think is great. As long as you've got the girth, like, well, that's awesome. At least for me. That,
if
personal
you
opinion
know what you're doing,
what a difference it makes.
Man, does it.
Absolutely. Jesus. Plus, you always have tongues.
It's true.
And fingers, hopefully. Oh, unless there's God something that happened to you.
And toes!
Then hopefully. You have a great kid.
You've got a nose. Put that nose to work.
You know how your nose job wherever it goes. That's what Toucan
Sam
meant.
Straight into Pussyville.
See, and that's great, because see, Cora doesn't like noses. Cora likes small, baby, stupid noses, so she would not do well with a big schnauzer.
No, if you're no.
Yeah. So, no. Gonzo, not so much?
Gonzo is basically having a penis.
What? Yeah, that's having...
His nose is dick-shaped.
That's like two options. That's great. Like, do I want to have sex with my boyfriend or my boyfriend's nose?
It's like they mix it up, girl.
Anyway,
back to the book.
Mark is getting hard just looking at these antiques. Oh, yeah. Sometimes when he's cleaning his room, he just stares into this cabinet, reminiscing about sexy times with random household items inside. He fantasizes about their honeymoon trip to Williams-Sonoma and the lovely spoon that they got there together. What boring motherfuckers are we reading about? Like, fucking honeymoon to Williams-Sonoma.
Their honeymoon was at a store.
Like, I don't know about you, I guess I just instinctively decide that anyone who is even remotely into BDSM is at least, like, exciting. Yeah. Or, like a more adventurous person. But these people are just hella boring.
Well, the thing is, maybe I kind of respect that, because it's like, we would assume that you look at someone who's kind of edgy and be like, I bet they're into BDSM. And you know what? That's not fair.
Well, not so that way. It's the other way around.
I know that's what people think whenever they look at me, because I'm the epitome of edgy.
Yeah, you do Chilean self.
Is somebody calling me? Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Hi, I'm burnt toast. I'm burnt toast. I'm wheat toast.
I would, like, never look at somebody who's got a mohawk and be like, they must like to get fucked with a spoon. But like, I'll maybe if somebody is, like, kinky and into BDSM and they're open about it, I'm like, oh, maybe that person's into more, like, explorative adventure stuff, because it's already established, like, they're into, I don't know. I just, like, getting wild in some other way, you can maybe, like, assume, I don't know. It's not fair to assume.
No, but on the defense, like, their BDSM is the most vanilla thing that's ever existed.
Yeah.
So they've got candles and what? I'm skipping ahead.
They're so boring. Can we please just, like, run through this?
Oh, you know what? We got it. Just like these people, this book is interesting as four diapers. Apparently, the whole thought process was taking too long, and Mark peaced out to get back to the living room where Judith was sitting on the couch with a huge smile, waiting to whip his ass. Mark is forced to drop his trousers and settle himself across his wife's lap. Once his half-mast penis was between her legs, she clamps them down around him, which felt terrible and chafy because she's in jeans, but oh so good. He preferred when she was wearing stockings or a skirt or something, but this was fine too.
This is okay.
This is fine.
It's decent. It's fine.
She opens up her hand and spanks him hard on the butt, and he loves it. She keeps smacking and smacking, barehanding him until his butt cheeks are warm. And she stopped for a few minutes, caressed his butt cheek and balls while he humped her knees. So he's super hard at this point, but coming was unlikely since Judith wasn't going to let him. And she's like, how many presents have you opened already?
Already?
Oh my.
She's slamming the hairbrush on his ass and he's like, none, I swear. She's scratching his red spots on his butt as she interrogates him. She returns to beating the shit out of him with a hairbrush as he admits he saw another gift in the linen closet. She has his fully hardened penis clamped by her legs, and she says, oh, this poor bottom is gonna get so red and swollen. Judith keeps rubbing his ass, and she keeps tickling his balls before asking what other gifts he has found. He says none. And she literally yanks his balls and
that
squeezes them.
That is horrifying.
Awful, really bad.
That's awful. That's like, but that's part of the fucking, like, sub-dom. Like, not that in specific, but it's just, like, control and being. Well, like,
if I even move near, you know, some balls, he freaks the fuck out.
Any old pair will do.
Any old pair will do.
You got balls, Lederman? Can I get near them? Just the ones. Just the ones.
It's a tender location.
No, but I also heard, like, okay, gross. My first boyfriend had a pre-ejaculation problem.
Ha!
Yeah, he had a real problem with it, which was fine because I didn't want
to. We're not laughing at the problem. We're laughing because he's an asshole.
He's an asshole. Oh, yeah, no. He was terrible. So it's fine because it was less time I had to be having sex with him. But anyway. It felt so sad.
Bye, bitch.
So he had looked up, like, ways to prevent that. And one of it was, like, during sex, like, to pull your balls back. And that was supposed to prevent. It definitely didn't help.
So wait, did he reach around and pull his balls back?
I don't remember. I've blocked it all out.
Because I like that image of just man.
I am a goat.
But maybe that's also why she was grabbing his balls, was to try to prevent him. Because she was like, he said she was going to not let him come.
Sure.
So maybe, I mean, that'll obviously stop it, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, hurting your husband immensely will definitely prevent any cum.
Uh-huh.
God. Ugh. Thinking that he's done getting whipped, she comes down on Mark with a spoon over and over. Mark went into Judith's underwear drawer to find a gift. Judith. She commands him not to look for any more presents or there will be no Hanukkah. He gives her a yes, ma'am.
Is she fucking Grinch?
She's got goddamn that sure. power.
No, Hanukkah. It doesn't exist. She slaps his butt cheeks each one more time and commands him to go put away groceries. Real quotes. He started to pull up his pants. Now, just take them all the way off and your underwear too. You don't need your pants to put away groceries. Maybe it'll help you learn your lesson, and you better not let me see you touching your cock. Good grief.
Oh, God. Good my vagina grief. Crawled up inside of me. Oof. Like, I don't know what I am anymore.
He's doing the Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, for sure.
Just t-shirt. No. Okay.
I hope he's wearing socks, though, because that's a great visual.
Oh, he certainly is later.
Is.
Yeah, I know.
But right now, his dick is screaming at him as he enters the kitchen. Mark knows, luckily, that good sex is on the way tonight because Judith loves spanking him.
What's so cool is you don't fucking hear about it now, do we?
No, we don't hear it, we don't see it, we don't smell it. His boner was going away, but it's for sure back. He eventually enters the living room after putting away the groceries and sits next to Judith, who plays with his junk. Judith asks if he can pick up Hanukkah candles tomorrow and check inside the box to make sure the candles are okay. They're on another fucking side quest where they explain their candles melting and colors and childhood and whatever. But Mark is all, by the way, what do you think about dripping hot wax from our Hanukkah candles on each other? And Judith is all, no! They have to burn down in the menorah. It's the entire point of the holiday. And Mark's like, fine, whatever. But they give some thought to the hot wax and candles since that doesn't have to be Hanukkah related. She allows him to put his pants back on and they go on with life.
What a disappointing moment that was.
Yeah.
It's like, don't put your pants back on. Have sex.
Yeah. I know. That was a tease. That was a tease for the audience. It's like, so when is this going to happen?
We all have bluer balls than he does.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Just waiting for him to get off. Just
weighted and heavy.
But in positive news, I feel like I'm learning so much about Hanukkah. Like, you don't desecrate the candles. Don't do it.
Well, until later.
But yeah. Oh, God. Until later. Absolutely. On Monday, Mark gets home from work and sees a mountain of wrapped boxes. He checks them out, guesses what could be inside, and then adds packages for Judith, then goes to Bed Bath & Beyond to see where they could have for decorations. Apparently, this episode is brought to you by Bed Bath & Beyond and William Sonoba, hopefully also Taco Bell.
And Sander's Dennis! House of Pain.
Yeah, and Sander's House of Pain. When Judith gets home, Mark has installed nylon around the house and has stars and ornaments hanging from it. The menorah is out with the candle sitting next to it. Two boxes. Dun dun! Judith is asking, why two boxes? And Mark is all, woman, we're going to play with these candles, and we need plenty of colors. A wink wink. And then Judith asks how old he is, which seems a little out of nowhere, but Mark's just excited, you know?
He's nine.
He wants that Hanukkah sexy.
Oh. So much.
Also, he wants that sexy time.
God, doesn't he? Just
so boy, know. Howdy.
He just loves Hanukkah, and his love for it just adds to his charm. Quote from him. He's so happy with how big the pile of gifts is. Apparently, this is their first Hanukkah together, so presumably they've been together less than a year and are already living together and beating each other with hairbrushes.
Meow, meow, meow.
They're such bratty adults. All they fucking cares about are these damn presents.
Seriously.
That's not what Hanukkah's about. That's what Christmas is about.
Yeah. Come on.
Come on.
God. Judith is jazzed about their first Hanukkah together. More packages were added to the pile in the few days remaining before the first night of Hanukkah. They also mailed shit off to their family, too. How nice. After saying the blessings over the first night candles, Mark smooched Judith and asked how many presents she wants to open. And she retorts with, "All I want to know is what the hell you're planning to do when we have children." Which, like, talk about a boner killer, criminy lady.
It's our first hanga together. Get off my junk.
Yeah, well,
get off my junk.
Anyone?
Somebody! She comments on the extra competition from the little hands that would want to open gifts too instead of just his. Whatever. Judith is laughing, but immediately says, "Here's what we're gonna do. Since we did this when I was a kid, we pick one per day, then open the rest at the end like a big celebration." So she literally was just saying, like, here's what we're gonna do. You get to pick a gift. Pick a gift. And he says, "Fine, I wanna open this one." And immediately Judith is like, "No, you're not allowed to." I'm like, "You just said you could open it."
I'm sure he loved it.
I'm sure he loved it. That's true. So they snuggle together and listen to a new CD because those still exist. They look through a book on collectible glassware and watch candles burn.
Well, those, because they opened gifts. They did open a gift.
Yes.
It was just that the other person, they had to select which gift to give to the other person. So this crazy BDSM couple got each other a coffee table book and a CD.
Yes, which we can only assume that this story takes place in 1846. So that's the fucking case.
1846. Like, a good year, a good year.
They're reading a magazine about glass.
Glass. Oh my lord.
You can have your balls in her mouth. Whatever. The next morning, Judith says they should have a Hanukkah party on the eighth night. They'll invite Susan and Harry and Tom and Joel. He makes fucking lot because they want to light candles and exchange gifts. All I hear is a screaming orgy on the way.
Oh my god, I was so excited.
I was like, finally. I'm like, you know what? This has been a lot of awful, but like a Hanukkah orgy with candles sounds at least real interesting. Yeah, let's do it. And boom! Or we let down.
Oh man.
Judith demeans Mark some more, calling him a little boy. She talks about her dad spanking her. She commands him to undo his pants, bend over, and touch his toes. He says, "Yes, ma'am." Drops his pants and bends over to touch his toes. Judith uses her hand to spank him and, quote, "it made for one of the best mornings he's had at work in a long time." So he went to work with a sore ass and called Judith at lunch to thank her for the spanking. And once again, quote, "my butt was tingling all during my morning meeting. I bet everyone was wondering why I kept smiling even though this quarter's earnings weren't so rosy."
I thought that was so funny. That's what I was like, what?
My God. Just come home and have sex! Mark and Judith plan the party over the next few days because he loves parties and loves latkes. Like, holy fuck. They talk about their love for latkes.
What's up?
Latkes are pretty good.
Yeah, they are really good.
I'm going to say. Pretty good.
I just can't be a believer. I haven't tried one yet.
Oh, latkes are so good. My dad makes really good latkes sometimes. Yeah.
You eat them like applesauce?
Latkes?
I would not talk to you when you're being like,
"Take a shot! Happy New Year!" Oh, Mark uses his grandma's recipe. For fuck's sake! I just want to stay on topic for like 2 minutes. Can they just stay on topic for 2 minutes?
Can they just get on top of each other for 2 minutes? Just help me!
Oh, if only they could mount each other. Cut to Judith setting up the Hanukkah party. We now know that Susan and Harry also have a sub-dom relationship. And Susan loved the idea of a spontaneous play party. She agreed to bring enough supplies for everyone without telling her husband, Harry. She didn't want him to tell anyone. Also, Tom and Joel are jazzed because they both are switches, which I didn't know what that meant.
I was thinking, because I assumed we were going to the orgy, so I thought this was going to be like a swinger.
Yeah, that's what I thought the first thing, then I read it again, and I was like, oh, that's probably what it means. That makes sense, though.
That makes sense.
I think it's switching, like, top-bottom.
Yeah.
Like, catcher. Like pitch and catcher. Catch. Yep. So on this special night, Joel will be the bottom, first dibs. They both swore that they wouldn't tell Mark because they might lose the privilege of eating latkes. These fucking latkes, they better be delicious.
But they are.
The last night fell on a Saturday, so there's plenty of time for Mark to clean the house and cook. At 5 p.m., their friends started showing up. Mark took their coats and Judith took their bags because Mark can't be trusted to keep his dumbass hands out of boxes and bags.
His dumbass hands.
God almighty. Susan was commenting quietly on how she feels the same this time of year, that she wants to keep her hands out of boxes.
See, that's how I felt another moment of this being a huge orgy and that they were all swingers.
Yeah.
Was that she, like, conspiratorially went up and was like, "I can't keep my hand out of bags either."
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh. And guess how we were all so wrong.
So disappointed.
So wrong.
Judith made some martinis. Everyone's getting slosh and eating treats. As Mark is making latkes in the kitchen, he's hearing murmurs and laughter in the living room. He sticks his head in to listen and hang out, but Judith is like, get back in the kitchen! Once he's frying the latkes, Tom wanders into the kitchen. He offers Mark a drink, hands him a martini, and drinks one of his own. He rambles on while watching Mark cook, asking for the recipe. Mark says he'll give it to Tom since Joel can't cook to save his life. And Tom makes the lamest dinner party joke. Mark asks him if he thinks he's made enough latkes, and Tom looks at the actual mountain of latkes and says, I think there's enough in there for me. When are you going to make the rest?
It's like, you know what? Joke. It's like a Hallmark movie.
It is.
If they just made that joke, locked eyes, and immediately sucked each other's dicks. So into it.
I'm so happy.
In this scene, too, because the whole thing was very suggestive. He's like, I'm just going to watch you make latkes. Do you want a martini?
Yeah, you're good with
okay. your Okay. Joel's in the other room. Let's get this orgy started right here. And no, there was not.
There's not one penis to be found. Not yet.
Not yet.
Mark brings the food out. Everyone eats latkes and gets super wasted on Chardonnay. The menorahs get lit, and 27 candles...
They get lit!
As fuck!
The candles burn as everyone watches, and Mark's like, let's open the presents! And Judith is like, not so fast. We have other plans. Now it's time for you to strip, and I mean everything. And Susan's like, yeah, Harry, do the same. And then Joel, without being prompted, just starts undressing. Judith unfolds a plastic drop cloth and lays it down. Like, this is murder prep. What the fuck is going on?
This orgy and so many juices are going to be flying everywhere.
Oh,
that's
fluids.
So what I'm thinking.
God.
So we're hoping. That's what we're
fucking hoping. Our fingers were creaky crossed. Mark says, what's the deal? Now wearing nothing but socks and an unbuttoned shirt. You got your sock wish.
Yay.
Judith tells him to get all the way naked and get ready to play with some candles. Thank God she makes him shave, says Susan, because I have Harry waxed since nobody likes a hairy.
Look at how you look. She's painful.
She's painful. So bad.
Not as painful as wax on your nipples.
Mm-hmm.
I guess so.
The men are discussing their body hair maintenance and are commanded to lay down on the murder tarp. Mark lies on his back next to Joel. Susan is dripping wax from one of the candles just above Harry's nipples. He squirms and smiles as she puts a candle in the pool of wax above his right nipple. And she says, see, Judith, this way you can make him into a human menorah. Which is, eons better than a human centipede. Let's all be thankful for a moment, but the visual is awful. And these bitches are talking about how to plan out their menorah men. Jesus. Susan does a candle above his left nipple, then forms a line of candles down to his belly button, presumably making a giant bee.
And they're also, like, tipped to the sides that those candles will drip wax, like, continuously.
Tom does the smell of Joel's back up his spine, and Joel moans. They're alternating up his spine as Judith places the first candle at the top of Harry's chest. Of Mark's chest, tilted towards his head so that the wax drips into the hollow of his throat.
Ow.
Fucking terrifying. One candle at the top of each of Mark's pecs so the wax can drip on his nips. Nip drip! Mark yipped and cursed with the hot wax. Judith makes fun of him, saying that this is all for him, and Joel and Harry love it, so you should stop whining. Judith puts candles around his belly button, and she grabs Mark's wrist as he tries to reach for them. She threatens to cuff him and tells him to put his hands under his butt and sit on them. And then Judith puts two more candles on his groin, posed to drip hot wax on his balls.
I got balls.
And she says, quote, I wonder where the Shamas will go, looking facetiously at his dick. Mark has the erection of a lifetime, laying on his abdomen. It twitched as she spoke. Susan finished before everyone else and gets a camera out of her bag to take pictures. Fucking nobody did that. Nobody's
like, why?
In the age of, like, Snapchat and Facebook, like, so scary. That was, to me, was, like, the scariest part of this whole fucking thing.
And they're just terrible.
You look terrified. You look like a shell-shocked war vet.
This whole book is so bad.
Susan tells everyone to light their shamas and reminds the boys not to move. Tom places his at the top of the crack of Joel's ass so that the wax goes down his crack and will burn his balls.
Judith places hers directly on Mark's shaft so that it will melt on the tip of his penis. And once it was in place, she turned off the living room lights. The candles burnt down. The men are groaning and yipping and moaning. The real menorahs and the human menorahs are burnt down.
This is like human centipede.
I know!
We wanted a human menorah.
Human menorah is like one of the scariest. Like that, it sounds like a B horror movie.
Yeah, it is. Human menorah. Coming this fall. Yeah.
Coming.
This fall. And this is like, I feel like this is a thing that could be used in Saw.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like as a torture.
Don't all of Saw's, all the games or whatever he has are like moral in some way, like to that one person. Do you remember Saw? Like,
I think
there's like one where like this girl was.
She was like an addict
and then she had to go like through a pool of needles.
Oh my god, yes, I do remember. That was the second one.
Oh, it's so gross. But so like this, it's like, you weren't a good Jewish boy. You are a menorah! That'd be so funny.
Well, now that they've played, it's time to clean off the wax. Once everyone is clean and the murder cloth has been thrown out, furniture is moved back in place, and Susan breaks out some cream puffs and alcohol.
Surprise! No,
I know! It says all the gifts are sex toys. And then we realize there's no sex.
No!
We just had a fucking opportunity to put candles in buttholes, to fucking open up a ball gag or a fucking rope set.
An orgy! We're all upset.
Missed opportunity.
Not a singular penetration, guys. Not one singular penetration.
No. Everyone leaves immediately. Mark is excited about his gifts, though, and tears them all open. So, since we're opening sexy gifts, maybe Mark will fucking have some sex, right?
Take off his clothes. Fuck.
Judith will finally let him open that big-ass box now. Mark grabs it, tears it open as Judith beams a giant smile at him. Lo and behold, Mark reveals a shiny black cattle prod. Anyone else think that was going to say dildo? Like a shiny black dildo? Because that's the word.
Cattle prod.
Just what he always wanted. And the last line of this book, because there is no penetration, Judith says, "That'll teach you to call me Miss Smarty." And we're done!
Oh, so bad.
Drier than a bone.
So boring.
I have never felt my vagina pack up its bags and get a flight anywhere from here.
It's a nom.
And even just like beyond that, the writing itself felt literally like a 5-year-old wrote this and didn't understand how dialogue works.
Yeah, absolutely.
On in text, because like the quotations were all over the place, and then like anytime there was a continuation, it was sometimes hard to follow who was talking because she didn't know what the fuck she was doing. It was awful.
It was really bad. It's my least favorite because it was also boring. Like, I hate Comfort Bigfoot, but it's something to talk about.
Yeah.
Like, they made textiles. They missed the mall.
Well, they missed the mall.
They want pizza.
But there was also like they were trying to accomplish something. Like, they were trying to escape, kind of not trying to escape. I mean, it was all really bad. I'm not trying to give it credit, but like just against Festival of Lights, where it was like, wow, two mediocre people literally not having sex.
Yeah.
God damn it.
And it's so many opportunities. Like, you had an opportunity for an orgy.
I know.
You could have had, like, you know, spanked him and then teased him and then, like, seduced him later in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Like,
fisted him, whatever.
Oh, boy.
Anything.
Help us.
Anything would have been good. I mean, I was really excited about that orgy. I was like, we've not had this before.
Right, me too.
We've had, like, a
with humans. Not with humans.
Oh, not with humans. Because Comfort Bigfoot had a lot of orgies.
Well, I was also thinking, like, swingers orgies. So yeah. Not just, like, having sex next to each other, but I originally thought it was going to be, like, with each other.
Yeah. And boy, were we disappointed.
And I was kind of excited, too, because I'm like, oh, they even set up a gay couple. Mm-hmm. I'm like, cool, so we're going to see all the different things that can happen, like, with a gay couple that's involved with two straight couples, or maybe, like, presumably, maybe they have bi members. Or like,
right, yeah, I was interested, and none of that happened.
Or what Hanukkah puns? So many puns were missed. They didn't...
Yeah, that's one thing that's Slam by Santa had it covered.
Oh, God, this was not a Hanukkah miracle.
No.
It was not. But... maybe we can smut it up.
Smut it up. We're gonna smut it up.
Oh! I'm gonna take a question that we all love and ask each other and turn it into a segment. A new segment. We're gonna play some Would You Rather.
Choices. Would You Rather.
So I'm got a big ass, gross ass list of questions here. Okay. We're just gonna bullet through some of them and cool. see if we can agree on anything. Ladies, would you rather get peed on or peed in?
You should see this.
I'd rather get peed on.
Peed on, of peed course. On. Peed on, peed in is you such a gross bit. Everything about it is icky.
Just take a shower afterwards, and it's all gone.
In, oh god.
Would you rather have your parents walking on you having sex, or you walking on them?
Can I leave immediately?
You have to walk in and observe it for a few seconds, just as they would to you. Mm-hmm. Just like, oh no, like you see it, you register it, you're like, gah, and the then you get out of there.
Like I've already seen my parents having sex. Like I've walked in on that like two or three times. My dad's not great at close indoors.
Cool.
So
the visuals are horrific.
It's just so tragic. So I feel like I've already experienced that.
Yeah, but would you rather experience that again or have them walk in on
Oh, I feel even worse now since they're separated. Like, I'd be like, what happened?
We have three separated families.
Yeah, womp, 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 womp. So it's like, it adds a layer. It adds a layer. It's not just like mommy and daddy. It's like, what does this mean for the family?
What's happening? What is happening together?
I think walk in on them.
Me too. I'd rather my parents not see me naked.
Yeah.
If I can avoid it.
I'm sure. With my pictures on Instagram, everyone has seen me.
Yes.
I think I'll probably agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't you basically already?
I mean, not with each other.
No, with your people. Yeah. But still, I feel like it counts to a degree. Your parents having sex.
No. Orgy! No.
Oh, we all want it for this book.
No.
Would you rather have sex with someone who doesn't shower or doesn't brush their teeth? So you get like a funky makeout mouth or stinky armpits. And probably a stinky wiener.
Probably a stinky wiener.
No, I mean, I wouldn't go down on somebody who hadn't showered.
Right? Oh, but then the bacteria in a mouth that has like never brushed their teeth, or just kind of is slack on it.
How it says often? Never brushes their teeth. I'd probably rather have a clean mouth, at least that way. So because your face is out. Right there most of the time.
And unless you're dogging it, and then who cares?
But what about the...
And then also they have a condom on. Also,
okay. If we're wearing a condom, then absolutely. Doggy style, dirty mouth.
Dirty mouth, right? Dirty mouth.
Dirty mouth, doggy style. Okay. So using someone who never brushes their teeth?
Yes. As long as there's a condom wrapped on there. Because I don't... The idea of the
dirty dick?
Of the dirty dick.
Dirty dick!
Smegma!
Smegma!
Is horrifying.
I don't know. I guess...
I'm having a tough time.
I feel like I'd just rather them... I just want to kiss during sex, though. So I'm going to say they have to... Maybe never shower.
I've done it.
Yeah, never shower, wear a damn wear saran wrap on your entire stupid body.
I have had sex without kissing because one or both of us was sick. And it's weird.
Is it weird?
It's weird. Because it's just like you want... It's very passionate and you want to. And then it's like, nope, don't do it. Don't do it.
I have a rule.
Huh.
Not to kiss if you're having sex with somebody. It's a rule.
What? Julia Roberts.
Oh I'm joking. That's a prostitute's code. It's a fake prostitute's code.
That's so silly.
Pretty Woman.
Yeah, that's basically, it's Pretty Woman. She's like, I don't kiss on the mouth. Because then it gets too intimate. That's
real.
The one thing.
Yeah, not a dick inside of you. Just your mouth.
Your mouth. It's intimate.
Would you rather walk around a supermarket in lingerie or walk around the mall in a with a strap on?
Lingerie.
Really? Oh, you'd be holding this walk around with a dick.
That'd be funny.
Well, yeah, but I would also worry about getting arrested or something for like indecent.
In lingerie.
No, I mean, I feel like, lingerie possibly too, but I feel like having a dick, like, people get more offended by that shit.
But think about the way that people treat the female body. Like, you can't even breastfeed. You're going to fucking prison if you're in a supermarket in your panties.
It's so true. Man, it's tough. We're living in a tough world.
You can't live any of these would-you-rathers.
Damn it.
Ooh. Oh, I do like this one. I think this is my favorite. Would you rather orgasm loudly every time you saw your crush, which could give away some things if you're in a rocky relationship, or be incapable of orgasming ever again?
Why would you ever give up orgasming?
Oh, my gosh.
You still feel great and have sex, but you just want to get that final moment.
Yeah, which is the buildup. Like,
what if you're married to someone and then you're going through a rough patch and you want to get a divorce and they don't know it, and then you see someone and you're just like, oh, God! And it's like,
We can make like a funny thing. You can make a joke out of it.
Like, that was a joke. every day forever.
Well, no, what if you made it like a nickname thing? Like, okay, give me a guy's name. Give me a dude's name.
Leonard.
Leonard. Okay, so let's say you have a crush on Leonard, and he comes in, and you're like, Leonard, it's that guy. You can find a way around it to never have an orgasm again.
Most women don't have orgasms anyway.
That's not us.
That's not us.
That's true.
Thanks to all men responsible for sex.
Wait, I was like, wait, women. All men?
No.
Let's not give it to
everyone. We're keeping the Snatch 22 women
afloat.
Please. Christ above. So, a final decision.
Oh.
Like, orgasm loudly?
Yeah.
Okay. I think so. All
right. I guess I go with that, Tim. That's right. Would you rather have a threesome with two semi-attractive guys or sex with one hot guy?
One hot guy.
I'm not really that interested in a threesome anyway.
No.
Like, I'm not, like, man,
it seems like a lot happening. Like, I feel like I would be a little overwhelmed. But then again, I've never tried. So.
I've never tried it. Well, also, I feel like it depends on what the relationship, like, is one of them a significant other who you really care about and someone else is, like, a stranger? Or two people you care about, which then is there, like, jealousy? Like, if there's too much drama going on there.
Or is it two strangers? Then that's scary.
Would be also a little bit more interesting.
Oh, so very fascinating.
Mm.
Coming to you next week with our own set.
Yes!
Would you rather have weak little orgasms every time you had sex or a super strong orgasm every once in a while?
Every once in a while.
So, like, you just don't orgasm, and then a great orgasm. And then you don't, and then a great one. Instead of some, like, okay, cool.
I mean, I'd be healthier, like the little ones. It's very healthy to orgasm.
I'm gonna go with little ones. I think.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
What about you, Croy?
I think I'd rather, in the spirit of the previous questions, too. Like, I'd rather just go in the spirit of like having those motherfucking orgasms.
Okay, I just want to live to dream. You know, dream to live. So I'm gonna go with the big one.
Okay.
You know what?
It's only once a year.
It didn't say that though. It did.
Asterisk from Jess. What if it's only once a year?
Then that's not worth it.
Okay, there we go.
And awesome. Would you rather have sex with a celebrity that you hate or with your ex?
Oh, that's so hard because, like, which celebrity? Because there's hot celebrities that I hate.
I immediately
pegged Nicolas Cage.
Ha! Ooh. That's a legend though. It's a legend.
No!
Well, also, which ex?
I was going to say, is it my recent ex? Because...
My recent ex? We also didn't have sex.
I guess Nicolas Cage don't be fucking.
No!
Okay, but what if it's your worst ex? And...
Nicolas Cage. I'll take him every day.
Yeah, I would take Nicolas Cage over... Although, I'm taking your bad celebrity.
Take your own bad celebrity.
I can't think of anyone I hate. Who do I hate?
Was it a gross?
I don't know.
Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, yeah, but like he's not. I don't even think of him as a celebrity. I mean, he's famous now because of.
He's absolutely a celebrity now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess we can all go. How about with Nickelback? The entire Nickelback crew. I want to get gangbang railroaded by Nickelback over an ex. Absolutely. Look at this crap!
Yes.
Well, I have probably had more sex with not boyfriends than with boyfriends.
That's fair.
Okay.
And the boyfriends that I've had, the people who've been my boyfriend who I've had sex with, I'd be totally cool with having sex with them again.
Okay.
We didn't end things terribly or anything, and it wasn't bad sex.
Okay.
So. but it's sad because I've probably had more sex with people who aren't my boyfriend.
That's not true. I think probably we do. I think on the scale.
Yeah.
On the chart, the pussport.
On the pussport. So yeah, I would say probably next, just based on my own experience.
Okay, and then for our final one, would you rather fart while getting eaten out? Or just profusely burp every time you're making out. Like, every single time you take, just like...
Wait,
is this every time for both of them?
Every time. This is... Okay, so if someone's going down on you,
Would you, a consistent you fart, be, like
nonstop fart stream, or would you be nonstop like belching, rumbling belches into somebody's mouth?
I already do.
I'm gonna go with a bird.
I don't remember.
I can't with a good conscience fart on someone's face.
That's a nightmare.
Especially someone you care about.
I know. But if you're working, if you think about it, working and farts are both passing gas.
It's so different, though. It's different, though. It's
way worse. We're gonna pretend that these farts don't smell. What if the farts don't smell? What do they not smell?
Yeah, but it's still asshole.
It's still poo gas.
It's poo gas. Here's someone's face. You say near. I say directly engulfing. Bye-bye.
I don't want to do that. Pink eye is a scary thing.
So you're just like burp mouth out down somebody's throat hole.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I don't want to burp to smell like Tony Otis.
Honestly, I wonder if I can manipulate my burps to sound a little bit more sexy.
A little more.
So they, bonjour. Bonjour. Why does she keep saying hi? Bonjour. That's just my burp.
I have Tourette's.
Oh my goodness. Well, what a delightful way to wrap up some mediocre smut. Next week, we'll probably be reading the best one of all time. We will be reading Tender Wings of Desire by Harlan Sanders, which is KFC porn.
Really?
Yes.
No shit.
So excited.
Yes. So, for those who don't know, we have a brand new live streaming show on Gravy. It's on gravy.live, gravy.live. Once a week, you can check us out. Once a week, you can find us online, play games, hear terrible Tinder stories, and so much more. Be sure to follow us on there and check out Snatch22Podcast.com, where you can find all of our personal and professional social media. Like us, hang out with us, whatever. Leave us a good review on iTunes and Podbeans. If you don't like us, that's really terrible. Don't tell anybody. But thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Snatch22 Podcast. I'm Croy.
I'm Tatiana.
I'm Jess.
See you next week. Be sure to come for the books.